This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Second hour of four underway. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Tomorrow's the day. I am a believer in more of what you love, less of dabbling to dabble. So I will have copious amounts of dark meat, no white meat turkey. I will have the biggest heap of mashed potatoes I've had in some time, perhaps a small football helmet-sized amount of it. And then I'm going to put all of the stuffing and some mac and cheese on my plate, and I probably won't do anything else. I will not waste any space on things I don't care as much about as mashed potatoes, stuffing, turkey. Maybe I'll have a small piece of ham, maybe. I'm not even going to guarantee that.
You can't and you shouldn't. My darling, wonderful, incredibly kind mother-in-law insists on a turnip dish because it's tradition.
That seems like a mistake.
I will swim move that thing like it's a statuesque backup left tackle on my way to the quarterback, which is stuffing. It's the only day of year we eat it for some reason. It's so stupid. It's cooked bread.
You're Adrian Claiborne, and it's the guy filling in for Tyron
eat
Smith.
Eat the breaded goodness.
You're Ryan Kerrigan, and it's onomatopoeia or whatever from the Eagles.
Vitae onomatopoeia.
Let's go to the hotline. Welcome onto the show. J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington, who covers the Redskins. JP, I know that it just sounds cute and fun to say, oh, this team's injured. I'm just not sure what they'll be able to muster. But this is a short week. They won't have one legitimate practice, all walkthroughs. You got a center who's not really a center playing, who's a third stringer. You're going to have a running back on the field protecting and pass pro who barely knows anybody on the huddle. This is kind of a nightmare, and yet the Redskins are favored by more points than they have been all season long.
Yeah, I'd almost argue that this game is probably the most worrisome, even though as banged up as they were going to Seattle, at least they had, you know, time to prepare for that one, and it was backups at that point, but it was still folks that had played the positions and were kind of really familiar with the systems. I mean, you're talking about Samaje Perine, your only experienced running back now, and
he was a third stringer.
I think we're using experience
ago.
Pretty loosely with him. They've got crazy injuries all over the place, and you can kind of see, to me, you look at the Terrell Pryor, you look at the Spencer Long situation, if they had won in New Orleans and it seems like, hey, if we go on a run now, we have a real chance at something, I don't know that those guys all land on IR right now. You never know, and maybe that's perhaps silly to say. When guys are hurt, they're hurt. But it seemed like folks were holding out to see what was going to happen. Now that it looks like the season is likely going to finish again without a playoff berth, that they're starting to kind of make plans for the future.
Multiple Super Bowl winning quarterback Jim Plunkett Finley. I look at this, like the rash of injuries, and I tell me I'm crazy. I read between the lines a little bit when Jay was talking about Terrell Pryor, and he was kind of defending him a little bit while at the same time maybe expressing some frustration. What was your take on that whole sort of explanation there, that he hurt himself in week two and was never really right? Was he sticking up for him, or was he irritated that it just didn't work out?
You know, to me, that was classic Gruden doing a little bit of both. And he'll say that about players in certain spots when he – clearly Pryor was playing hurt. If he has to get the surgery now, he's playing hurt. But I'd also argue that whatever the level of pain is, Pryor was comfortable playing through that when he was still trying to get his season on track. Now that it's obvious the season's not coming back. I mean, if you look at his last game against the Vikings, he had no targets. I think now is the time for Pryor to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get this surgery. I'm kind of shutting this thing down because they're not using him. I mean, they're not even really losing any part of the offense by losing him, which is just remarkable considering the hype and praise he was getting, you know, 3 short months ago. I think Gruden sometimes doesn't realize how honest he sounds, and when you use a word like supposedly in that quote, it kind of starts to skew things a different direction. And I'm sure if he had the time to write out answers and look through what, you know, if he gets to edit something, he might not have used a word like supposedly, but he did.
Jay Gruden yesterday at the podium, giving us fodder, of course. JP Finley breaking it down. Grant and Danny on the Fan. So Chase Roullier would be starting, but he's hurt, so he can't fill in for Long, who's on IR. So now Tony Bergstrom slides over to center. What about the running back situation behind Perine, though? Byron Marshall's going to handle third down duties. Is he good in pass pro? Do we have any idea? And who is LeSean Daniels Jr.?
Who is he?
Anybody that's telling you they know is lying. I don't know. Unless somebody watches a ton of Eagles practice film or something. We have no idea. I think you're going to see more Samaje Perine than ever. I think they're going to try to keep him out there as much as they can. Jay Gruden yesterday at the podium said he doesn't really know. We're just going to have to find out. And that's where this team is. And the worrisome part on this is the Giants are not going to come in here and quit. They're going to come in here. We saw it week 17 last year. It's a division rivalry, and they just beat the Chiefs. I don't think the Giants are probably trying to salvage a reasonable season and maybe see if they can get to 5 wins. And they're going to have this one circled because they're going to look at the Redskins, especially offensively on the line and at the running back position, and think they have a shot.
At JP Finley, NBCS on the Twitterverse. Give him a follow if you care about the Redskins. All right, 90210 star Jason Priestley Finley. Why has Kirk Cousins struggled against the Giants so much? His numbers against other teams in the division, Dallas, excellent. Philadelphia, even better. The Giants have given him fits. Why is that, and what do you expect anything different this time?
Well, I would argue his career numbers against the Giants are skewed because of a terrible start in – was at the end of the Mike Shanahan era in 2013, Grant? Do you remember when that was? Up in the Meadowlands, it was cold and rainy. Kirk was horrible. The whole team was horrible.
Right.
I think all of his numbers are skewed because I think he threw 3 picks that day and just the entire Redskins team had quit on Mike Shanahan.
He had a 4-pick game at home against them on a Thursday night. So that's why I've said his numbers against them are always a little bit misleading. But he has not had signature performances other than – he had one great game. It was in East Rutherford when they won in Week 3 last year. Other than that, it's kind of been disappointing like Week 17 last year.
I mean, I think you could point to Week 17 last year as probably Kirk's most disappointing game as a Redskin. I mean, they needed a big performance. They didn't get it from him. They didn't get it from anybody. But if you have to pinpoint a real flaw – but remember last year that Giants defense was really strong. But like you said, Grant, I mean, he kind of – they went up there and had a great day Week 3 when they were 0-2 and desperate for a win. I don't think you can read too much into he struggles against this team, he's good against another team, because, you know, prior to this season, he was great against the Eagles, and they had won 5 straight, and then this year they lose both. So that division stuff is hard to really get a figure on. I know that Kirk is – I wanted to ask you guys this. I heard him say he's playing his best football, and I certainly think that's the case if you look at the total season. But I would still argue that that 4 or 5-game stretch at the end of 2015 is still the best football he's ever played. Now, maybe that was just he was on a hot streak and everything was working out. But, I mean, that last month of 2015 before the playoff game, every week was the Saints game. Every week he was dialed in.
Agreed, and I think what he meant, 2 things. One, the question I asked was about this season. So I think he's comparing.
I think overall season, absolutely.
Exactly. I think he's comparing this season to 15 to 16. But also, because we talked about this with some listeners yesterday that called in about that. Yeah, the 2015 run was his best run, but it came easier. And he had DeSean Jackson, and he had Pierre Garçon, and he had Jordan Reed.
Good point.
Playing at the best level he's ever played before he got his extension. Remember, Jordan Reed was the best tight end in the league the second half of that year. He was catching 2 touchdowns every single week. They were playing bad teams. Buffalo, I mean, it was kind of like wide-open receivers. And this, to me, is just a whole different thing where he's actually elevating the play of the guys around him. You heard for years, this guy can't make players around him better. He's buoyed by talent. Well, Jeremy Sprinkle and Byron Marshall are carrying him, I guess, now.
Right, and I tell you what, man, I don't know that we're talking about it enough, and I think some of it is just because of the short turnaround. We're not actually getting to see practice. We're not getting to see what they're trying to do. No Chris Thompson is going to be massive for them. There are fans, and good for them, that are holding out hope of a 6-game win streak and sneaking into the playoffs, and you know what? You're a fan. You should root for that. But Chris Thompson has been their only game-changing talent on the field consistently week to week. And not just that, but he's also capable of making a 5-yard gain into a 15-yard gain. Not having him the rest of the way is going to be a real, real problem for the Redskins.
actor Jared Padalecki from Supernatural fame on the WB. This is
never heard of that. That one does not count.
Dude, he's on IMDb. It's one of like the top 77 searches that comes up when you start going Jared and then the last name P. You can't get upset at me for that one. It's a great pull. All right. Who's got to step up in the absence of all these guys? Who's the guy that you look at and you say, hey, you've got to play well here if the Redskins are going to do any of the things that you just mentioned?
I mean, offensively, I would point to two guys. One is going to be a health issue. I don't know that he'll be out there, but now would be a great time for Jordan Reed to come back on the field and give them something and be a dynamic talent that we've seen, that we just talked about in 2015 when he was the best tight end in football. And the other guy I would say is Josh Doctson. You saw it in the first half against New Orleans, how good he can be. They kind of got away from him in the second half, but maybe we finally see the 10-catch game for Josh Doctson. They need it. They're running out of options. And certainly Samaje Perine, he played well last week in New Orleans. I think you hope he has kind of figured out the speed and pace of the NFL and can keep that going. Defensively, I think Zach Brown and Martrell Spate as a pairing did not have the success that Zach Brown and Mason Foster and even Zach Brown and Will Compton had. I don't know that what those two need to do differently, but I think it's interesting when you have Brown paired with Spate because they're two guys. Now, obviously, Brown has otherworldly speed, but Spate is also a fast linebacker. I think they're two guys that rely on speed, and one of them might need to, I don't want to say slow down, but be more aware of the schemes and everything rather than trying to make plays just instinctively. I think that could help a lot, especially against the Giants offense that's kind of struggled.
Yeah, they just need Spate to make tackles when he's got the possibility to in the open field. He missed too many of them. Hey, JP, thanks so much, buddy. Great as always.
Have a great holiday, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yep, we'll see you tomorrow night at FedEx Field. There's JP Finley on Grant and Danny. Some of his thoughts on the matchup with the Giants. Let's take your temperature next. Kirk Cousins was on our show this week and made it sound like this is going to be a really tough game. And generally, they are against the Giants, particularly at home. And it's a division game when you're really banged up. Should we expect the Redskins to win handily, or is this going to be a painful squeaker? You're listening to The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.